Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the virtues of performing salah with jama'ah. As we explained, this is the kindness and the grace from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need. It is a command of Allah ta'ala for us to perform salah, and in fulfilling that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of performing salah, we are shown to do it in a certain way. In other words, performing our salah with jama'ah. And despite this being a command from Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is willing to give us so much of reward for it. In other words, Allah Ta'ala, if He wanted, He could have just told us, this is perform salah, and this is how you're supposed to perform it. And we as the servants of Allah Ta'ala, we're supposed to do it without asking any question. But this is the clemency, kindness, mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that we are His servants, He's showing us what to do, telling us what to do, and over and above that, He's giving us so much of rewards for it. This is the real mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should take it advantage. Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, walladhi nafsi biyadih laqad hamamtu an amura bihatabin fayuhtatabu thumma amura bisalati fayuadhanu laha thumma amura rajulan fayaumman nas thumma ukhalifu ila rijalin fauharriku alayhim buyutahum. Muttafaqun alayhi. To appreciate this hadith that we're doing today, you must understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen. He was a mercy to all of mankind. Allah Ta'ala had sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had so much of shafqat, so much of love, so much of mercy, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't like to see an animal also. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam wouldn't see an animal that's going through distress. Like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't like to see any person going through any type of distress. حَرِيسٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thirsty. So to speak, he was desirous of the hidayat of mankind. And he was very, very kind, very, very merciful. So here we find that despite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being merciful, despite him being so kind and a mercy to the whole of mankind, this hadith shows us the seriousness of the occasion, that the person that is the most merciful wants to do something that seems like outward harm. It wasn't outward harm, it was not harm, it seemed like outward harm, to show the drastic nature of leaving out this particular commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commandment of performing salah with jama'ah. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I take an oath by that being in whose control is my life. Who's saying this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I take an oath. The Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي. That I take an oath in that being in whose control is my life. So it's already showing that this is a serious matter. It's not a small matter if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking an oath. Then he goes on to say, لَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِحَطَبٍ فَيُحْتَطَبَ. That I seriously considered issuing an order for firewood to be collected, the call to salah to be given, and a person appointed to lead the people in salah, whilst I go to those people who are absent from the masjid and burn down their houses. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that I take an oath in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seriously commanded an issue. On one side, firewood must be collected. On the other side, a point, azan must be given, somebody else must be performing the salah, otherwise Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would always perform the salah. He would only leave it for some issue that was very serious. So, in other words, this is a very serious matter, adding to the seriousness of the matter. One is taking an oath, the other is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is putting someone else as the imam after the azan is being called. And what would Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say, that what I considered doing is that I considered going to those people who are absent from the masjid and burning down the houses. So here it shows us, it's not a small thing. Before we explain, that the fuqaha, they've categorized it. In fact, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi mentions it is wajib. Wajib in category of faraz, that a person can't miss out his salat with jama'ah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says it is sunnati mu'akkada. The person continuously leaves out, habitually leaves out coming to the masjid. He makes it a habit of not coming to the masjid. And this person will be termed a fasiq. In an Islamic country, he will be detained and he will be punished for him not missing, or for him missing salah in the masjid. So this was something that was very, very serious. It was a great personality, Hazrat Sulaiman ibn Abi Hathama radiallahu ta'ala an, that on one occasion Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he had this in him that he would look to see who was not there for salah, and he would go and he would try and visit them to find out that what happened, that you couldn't make it for salah. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even the ordinary munafiqeen would fright not to come for salah. Although they were munafiqeen, hypocrites, they would fright, they would also come. That person that was an open munafiq, it was very, very clear, he would be the one that would miss salah with jama'ah. So in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even the munafiqeen, the ordinary ones, they would be present for salah. In Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam's last days, in his last few days, what would happen was that he would go into consciousness, out of consciousness, consciousness, out of consciousness. When he would regain consciousness, he would ask for water. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make wudu. And then two or three times that this happened, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was then assisted. Two people would assist him. His feet, comes in the riwayat, his feet would be dragging on the floor, but he would go to the masjid to perform salah. In the last few days of his life also, he did not miss salah. Anyway, this incident of Sulaiman ibn Abi Hathama radiallahu anhu, so on one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu seen that he was not there. So when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was going towards the bazaar, his house was on the way. So he stopped at his house and he asked his mother, Shifa, that what happened to Sulaiman? I did not see him for Fajr Salah. So she said that he stayed up the whole night in Ibadah, and just around the time of Fajr, his eyes couldn't stay awake and therefore he fell off to sleep. So in other words, his whole night he was in Ibadah, and then he just fell off to sleep. He was overpowered by sleep at that time. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu made the statement on that occasion. He said that I wish, I desire, or I would love that I perform my salah with jama'ah more than staying awake the whole night performing ibadah and missing my salah with jama'ah. In other words, more beloved to me that I perform my salah, my fajr salah with jama'ah, been staying awake the whole night, showing us how virtuous it is, how important it is to read salah with jama'ah, that it is more beloved to me that I perform my fajr with salah with jama'ah and staying awake the whole night and missing salah with jama'ah. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, we can see how important it is to perform our salah with jama'ah. It must be something that is part and parcel of our lives, and if we happen to be late or if we happen to miss salah, then it should sadden us, it should make us very sad. And automatically there should be some corrective measure. It mustn't happen again that I miss my takbir-e-ula. It mustn't happen again that I miss my salah with jama'ah. Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq. And then the person makes it part of his routine, and you'll find right up till the end of his life, this person will be very particular about his salah. But this routine has to come in, and then we have to bring it into our lives. Now, Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi says that we're all looking for enjoyment, enjoyment, enjoyment. Enjoyment is the last phase. First is mashaqqat, first is difficulties, then is adat, then it becomes a person's practice, habitual practice. Then last comes this enjoyment. So don't look for enjoyment and then do things. Do it, later on Allah Ta'ala will give that enjoyment. Enjoyment is the cherry on the top, it's not the actual cake. So therefore we should do things because the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not because it's enjoyment. That enjoyment Allah will give, but later on, what we need to do is that Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have asked us to do. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah.